All right, there you go. That's Emily Grogan, and she is a tremendous music talent out of Winthrop and other places. One of the former rocker moms of Canadian TV, and had a terrific interview with her today. Tremendous musician, multi-talented. She's also, get this, Coach, she's also a mathematician, and just a brilliant talent, written so many songs. We've linked to the website, and I implore you to tune into Emily Grogan's music, and wherever she's and her band are playing, you got to go check it out. It's fantastic. I'll play a little bit more of this later on. That's my new favorite song called I'm Over It, and there's a lyric in there when I'm all over it too. It's really cool. Like, let it go. I'm over it. Tremendous song. Love it. Anyway, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And after, popping the clutch and stalling out a couple of times, we've got North Shore Sports Night here tonight. Tim, how you doing?
I'm good, Rick. Getting better day by day.
That's good. It seems like, for a mild case of COVID, that's not really a proper description of it, is it?
No, it lingers. You know, having gotten the vaccines earlier in the year certainly mitigated the intensity of the COVID case that I got. But you go through all the symptoms. I had the stiff neck, the joint ache, upset stomach, loss of appetite, loss of sense of taste and smell, headache. I mean, it was the whole gamut of symptoms. And it lasted a good 5, 6, 7 days and then began to diminish last weekend. But it lingers. The one thing that lingers most of all is the lack of energy.
Well, then you have to rest when you're feeling it. You just have to. I mean, you can't fool around with this thing. And it lingers. Yeah, it goes on and on and on. All right. So once again, Coach is remote. Tim Kearns is remote with us tonight, and appreciate his being with us tonight. We have, and I got to mention again, you got to check out the interview that we did today on Connections with Emily Grogan. She is a rocker mom and a tremendous talent. She can play, I don't know, at least 5, 6, 7, or 8 different instruments proficiently. And she's also not only a musician and a singer, but also a composer, and just a very singular talent and such an upbeat person. Tim, you ever run into someone who, when you run into someone like I'm trying to describe here, it's really, you really feel good. There are some people that you talk with or you work with or you know in your family who just, they're just never down. And if they are down, they just don't let you know it. They're always upbeat.
I'm trying to think of somebody that in my past, in my long past, that fits that description. And they're just such a rare commodity that it's tough to pull them out of the air. But yeah, you're right. You can be down, and there's just something about the energy level that they have that nothing slows them down. Nothing puts them in a rut.
Yeah, and I, you know, the first name out of the high school comes to mind is Rayanne Menery. Rayanne is like that.
Yanking every day, but you're right. Generally, she's the glue that holds the faculty together. She's the coordinator of all things social. People don't realize just how valuable she is to the faculty there.
The morale, you know it. All right, so we're going to be talking with Lou Ciccatelli coming up in a few minutes here now, the Revere High School football coach, whom we've known for a long time, and they bounced back nicely over the weekend with a big win over Medford. We're also going to check in with Endicott College student hockey coach Tyler Hanrahan. Now, the Hanrahan name is very familiar to anybody who knows Tim or me or the Barussos or the firefighters in Gloucester or the hockey community in general. Tyler is the son of Barry Hanrahan, former student of mine, and Tyler is a student coach over at Endicott College, an accomplished athlete in his own right, and we want to get the story from him. He's a senior this year over at Endicott and a lacrosse player, a hockey player, and we'll check in with Tyler, and I can't wait for that to come up. We'll be talking with him in the first half hour, then later on, Gary Larrabee at the bottom of the hour, talking probably golf and the Ryder Cup, and then Mike Grenier, who was at the Patriots game yesterday, and I'm having a hard time getting that out of my mouth here. We'll talk about the Patriots. But first, Tim, for the next minute or so, the Red Sox are who they are, and man, their bullpen is just, it's just awful.
Well, you know, the Red Sox are who they are, you know, and, you know, we were waiting in June and July, we were waiting for the swoon, and we got it in September. Generally, it happens in August. But they were staving off the inevitable with some comeback wins, and but you know it was a roller coaster of an August after riding up the hill through the early part of the season, and then it all just started to hit the backside, and the bullpen went crappy, and guys weren't playing the field well, and then the starting pitching, and so it really hasn't been any one aspect of the Red Sox game. I mean, it's a total letdown because, you know, the offense and the pitching hasn't picked up the bullpen. They haven't gone deeper into games. You know, the starting pitching that takes some of the burden off of the bullpen. When you're only getting 4.5, 5 innings out of your starters, that's not enough. You know, and
well, I listened to A-Rod last night, and man, does he criticize? Wow. He was all, no matter what coach made what move or what player did what, he was the complete opposite. Did you catch that?
The Red Sox game or?
Yeah, the Red Sox-Yankees game. A-Rod,
I didn't even listen to it.
No matter who did what, I've never listened to it before on ESPN, but it was stunning to me how, no matter what anybody did, A-Rod had a negative comment about it. And it's like, whoa, I was stunned by that. It was fun watching David Ortiz interact with A-Rod up in the broadcast booth. That was fun. I did enjoy that. And Big Poppy is still all class, man. I love him.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, A-Rod has to play to the New York fans. He couldn't go and say anything good about the Reds.
No, but he didn't say anything good about the Yankees either.
Really?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Oh, he was criticizing Boone. He was criticizing the players for dropping pop-ups. He was just,
Then I'm commendable, you know, ragging on guys that can't handle a pop-up. I'm sorry. You're a major leaguer, mm-hmm. You know, and if a first-year player did it, well, that's a rookie mistake. No, it's not. How long have you been, and that's the one term in sports, especially baseball, that absolutely fries me every time I hear, well, that's a rookie mistake he made. Even a rookie has been playing baseball since they've been 5, 6 years old. They're now 23, 24, and they make a mistake, and it's a rookie mistake. There's no difference. Oh, is the pressure a little bit more? Well, you know, it's a ground ball. Stop it, pick it up, throw it to the base. That's all it is. Fly ball, get underneath it, catch it on top of your head, which they don't do. When a runner is tagging up, get deeper than the ball, come in on the ball, catch it on your throwing shoulder, and in 2 steps, get rid of it. You know, and release it out in front so you're not throwing parabolas.
Yeah, Coach.
That's the infield.
Coach, you're talking fundamentals here, so, you know.
And that's why I don't even enjoy watching Major League Baseball, because these guys, because of all the money they get, don't think they have to execute fundamentals. They don't get around the ball, you know, fielding it, either in the infield or the outfield. They catch the ball off the wrong shoulder. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, Coach. All right. Apparently, I lit a fire here. Let me throw some water on that. We're going to talk with Lou Ciccatelli in a minute here, Coach. So pull yourself together. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The lack of energy is lingering.
All right, we're on the air, boys, as Lou Ciccatelli joins us now talking with Tim Kearns. It's been a while since those two have gotten together. And, Coach, it's been a while since we've had you on. 2-1, nice bounce back after a loss a week ago, but you came on strong on Friday night. Tell us a little bit about the win over Medford.
Yeah, so the first GBN game, it was a very good Medford team. It was 3-4-6 final, and always played very, very hard on both sides of the football. We played especially hard on defense, where we were basically game tackling and doing everything we set out to do, and it set the offense up with some real good field position. And when you do that, it always makes your night a little bit easier. But we were flying on all cylinders, and it was good to get back in the win column.
Coach, it's hard. I'm going to let Tim take over in a second here, but it's hard for us to get game reports out of the GBL sometimes. You know, we're used to seeing you in the item in the Northeastern Conference. So can you give me a few details on the game on what went right for you guys, either on offense or defense, and, you know, maybe name a player or a player or two?
Yeah, so basically on defense, my captains, Augusto Goncalves and Max Doucette, two of my defensive ends, and Jason Shosho, and Ilias Lafalaki, my front four, they more or less put a ton of pressure on Medford's offense, especially getting off to the quarterback. And that allowed us to play a little bit more man defense, and we were able to lock them down a little bit and create a few turnovers. And like I said before, the defense set the tone. Those guys made it a little bit easier with we had a couple of short field drives, 40, 50 yards. We had one 80-yard drive. But defense, I think, set the tone. Offense obviously put up 33 points. My quarterback, Anwar Mabo, was 5-for-6 that night. And we had two over 100-yard rushes. And that kind of, pushed us through.
Yeah.
To a big win.
Tim?
With the success that the team has had over the last couple of years, and you know, the strength of the team was certainly at key positions. How have you managed to fill in those gaps?
Yeah, great question. They're young kids. A lot of these kids, Davey Barreto, who had 150 yards rushing the other night, was basically a scout running back. And, he worked his tail off in the weight room this summer, and he's one guy that's really stepped it up. He's probably, as far as yards goes in scoring right now, he's our number one guy. So he had a big game. Mark Marchese came, he didn't play a year ago, and he came back for his senior year. He had an injury, he came back. He's another guy. He had two touchdowns last night. So, yeah, a young team, different guys stepping up since a lot of those guys from last year and the 10-1 team have all gone on and moved on to school and college. So, just trying to rebuild it. And, again, a lot of hard work in the weight room. And so far, a 2-1, it's paid off. And they're a real good group of kids. I'll say that. I say it about them every year. But these kids are very hungry. They want to learn, and they're at practice every day. We don't really, we have really good practices. They're always getting after it, and they're happy to be there. And you know, so for us, it's just try to get better every day. And you know, unfortunately, we've been able to do that so far.
Look, could you follow up on the scout team? You know, you mentioned the running back that came from the. And the scout team has really emerged this year. And I happened to see in the Salem News an article, I think it may have been about Hamilton Wedham, and they were drawing attention to two of the kids from the scout team and the contributions that they have made in basically shadowing the opposition for the week and being those key opposition players. How much of an effect can those guys have?
Oh my goodness, it's huge. We had a long discussion with the guys today because we were trying to get a look at learning English this week. We were trying to get a look at learning English. And when you're trying to simulate another, especially on defense, another team's offense, it's not easy to do. But when you get some good scout players and they watch film, and we talked about that, watch a little bit of film so you can help us out, see what our opponent does. And we stress that a lot. Like I said, these kids are young and they're very, very much wanting to get better. And they've been doing that, and you know, it's very early in the season, but they're definitely a big part of our everyday plan and a big part of our season. And I stress that all season long. And you know, the big thing is those are the guys that sort of at some point they're going to step up and they're going to be playing varsity football.
How are the numbers this year, Lou?
They're okay, a little down. I probably get in total program, I get about 58 kids.
Wow. Okay.
yeah. So not bad. I only got about 12, 13 freshmen.
Are you guys playing? Are you playing a sub varsity schedule?
Yeah, we're playing a sub. A lot of teams aren't. You know, we're fortunate. We're definitely playing sub varsity. We also played a few freshman games.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed a couple of JV guys in there just to get kids more acclimated and getting some playing time, because that's the only way these younger kids are going to get better, obviously. So. Trying to find games, looking around, and you know, we've been able so far. We've had two JV games and two freshman games, so I'm kind of happy about that.
Well,
have you had to go further afield than usual to find these games? We know that the varsity certainly has had to look far afield to fill in the schedule. Has it happened on the lower levels as well?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I ended up reaching out. I'm good friends with Donnie Hears. I picked up a game with him. We had Watertown at one point. We're going to play them. We never played them before. We're going to play a freshman football game with them. Yeah, we looked around because a lot of teams, forget about freshmen, but a lot of teams this year don't even have capacity.
Yeah.
So, you know, we really had to go out and search just to get games. And I even told... you know, the people of the vote, we play them again if we have to. I just want to make sure my kids are, you know, staying with it and playing football, you know, through the course of the season.
These are special times right now. Coach, you've got Lynn English coming up, your old NEC foe, and that's going to be at Manning. Great place to play. What do you look for this weekend?
Yeah, Manning Show, 7 o'clock. Very athletic football team. They're very good. We watched them against Everett, and you know, the score didn't really tell the story of the game. I thought that they played Everett pretty tough. They got a lot of athletes that can fly around and make plays. Their quarterback's a second-year guy that throws the ball very well, very accurate. And, you know, as always, we're going to have to come bring our A game, you know, just to have a chance to pull it out.
All right, Coach, I appreciate it. We got to get to our next interview here. We'll check in with you again probably in a week or so.
Yeah, listen, I'm always thinking of you guys, and thanks so much for keeping me here in mind.
Oh, we're going to try to get over there on Friday night, too, so we hope to see you over there.
Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Lou.
Take care, Lou. All right, bye-bye. That is Revere High School football coach Lou Ciccatelli. Quick break coming up here, and we'll check in with Tyler Hanrahan, Endicott College. We'll be right back.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Editor at the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore. This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Well, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you're the windshield. Sometimes you're the bug. Not able to get through with Tyler, and we'll try again in a little while. We've got Gary Larrabee coming up here in a few moments, along with and later on Mike Grenier. And Coach, I wanted to ask Lou, and I thought we were a little pressed for time there to get to Tyler, but I wanted to ask him about his view of the GBL and what it looks like this year, because Everett seems to be flying high as always. All right, here we go.
Until something dramatically changes, is going to rule the roost in the GBL. They just have so much tradition.
Hold on, Tim. I think Tyler's here. Hold on. Hold on to that thought, please. I'm sorry for interrupting. Be right back. Hello. Hello, Rick Moore.
Hi, Tyler Hanrahan.
Tyler, how are you? Hold on one second here. I got to get Tim back. Tim Kearns is our co-host. He's over in Beverly. I'm going to put you on hold. We're live, so, I'm embarrassed by pressing the wrong buttons. Be right back with you, and if not, I'll call you back. Hold on, Ty. Be right with you.
Awesome.
Yep. Oh, man. Tim, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, you are. Okay. Tyler, you there? hold on. All right. Tyler, you're there, right? Oh, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. I'm going to put some music on. I'll start all over again. Tim, I'll get back to you. This is crazy. Oh, man. All right. Be right back.
Used this prep in South Jersey, and, it was great.
All right, so how did you so at Endicott? You also played lacrosse in high school, is that correct?
Yeah, our lacrosse team was actually really good. It was funny. Hockey's obviously my number one passion, and lacrosse is kind of my secondary sport. Mm-hmm. But we had a group where we were all sophomores that started varsity, and we came through together and broke a ton of school records together. Unfortunately, lost in the state championship, but. That was awesome.
Yeah. Does that seem like a long time ago now? Because, when you're a senior going into college, freshman, senior and college look so far down the road, but here you are. So, I mean, it goes fast on the one hand, but on the other hand, it might seem like a lifetime ago that you played in high school.
It does and it doesn't. A little bit of it, like, when I take a step back, I'm like, I look at the lacrosse team and at Bishop Eustace, and I'm like, wow, I don't really know anyone, And
yeah, right.
I look at my college career. In my first year, I tore my ACL my second day of school, basically. So I spent that whole semester, going home for MRI surgeries and coming back here. So I was kind of back and forth. And then sophomore year was when the pandemic came, the second semester. So that got cut in half. Last year was a weird year, but we made it work. And then now it's senior year.
Are you playing, will you be playing lacrosse this year?
No. I decided to drop that after I blew out my knee.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny, Tim. I met Tyler for the first time at the Wells Fargo Center. I think it was 2 years ago now, at a Tampa Bay Lightning Philadelphia Flyers game. And if anybody doesn't know, Tyler's dad is a former student of mine and a vice president and assistant general manager of the Philadelphia Flyers. And Barry Hanrahan is such a gentleman, such a kind man, as well as being so astute in the sports world. But I met Tyler, and I think you were in a brace at that time, weren't you? You were rehabbing the knee then?
Yeah, so I had the ACL surgery early October, and then during rehab, I kind of fell weird and ended up breaking my kneecap, so I needed surgery, which required me to be in a brace pretty much for the rest of the year.
What? I got to ask you, man. You know, I know hockey is the thing, and we've had your dad on the show many times, and when I went into your dad took us to the locker rooms downstairs at at the base level of the Wells Fargo. And to see the name Giroux up there and all these names in the Flyers locker room, and then to see the Tampa Bay Flyers, the Tampa Bay players walk by you, it's just incredible. But you grew up in that environment, didn't you?
I did. It's truly a blessing, honestly. And, not only for it to be, my dad worked for a professional sports team, for it to be a team like the Philadelphia Flyers, who are just a high-class organization, and everything they do is top-notch. And just the history behind the Broad Street Bullies, and then the amount of all the four sports teams there, the passion that the fans have behind mm-hmm. them is amazing to see. It's really exciting every year, this time of the year, and then playoff time, just the excitement that's around the city and stuff. You feel part of it. I know I'm not, but my dad is, and you definitely feel that secondhand.
Yeah, but
excitement.
Well, before I turn it over to Tim, the thing that's similar between you and your dad is your dad was able to make connections at a very young age with some established hockey icons like Phil Esposito and so on, and you have that I don't know if I can call them connections at this point, but you grew up in that environment, so you have an inside view of how the sporting world works at the professional level. So what are your goals now in college? What do you want to do when you get out of here? What's your major?
So my major is business management, and I'm minoring in analytics. And my plan is to I'm applying to grad school actually as we speak. Honestly, I'm applying to Boston University's grad school tomorrow. I want to get my MBA,
mm-hmm.
And then I would like to just work my way into the hockey industry and, climb the ladder.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Eventually, hopefully, get into
a
role.
My daughter is applying to BU grad school too, so it would be funny if you cross paths again, because your dad is her emergency contact down there in Philadelphia, and we love Philadelphia, and obviously we love your family. You have connections both to Philadelphia and the North Shore. You have would it be grandparents here on the North Shore?
So my grandparents passed, but my Uncle Dale still lives here, and
okay.
I have tons of family throughout on my dad's side that live in Gloucester, Mass,
mm-hmm.
Which is just an amazing place to grow up. That's what originally attracted me to Endicott, was every time we'd visit here. I just always had a great time. It's just a beautiful area. And, I was very familiar with the area, too. We came up, saw a lot of high school football games and a couple of high school hockey games during the winter when I was real little. But as I got older, obviously, the sports and stuff, that was harder to do.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's amazing, and I'm talking, Tim, you got it next, but I think it's amazing that your dad in the positions he is in, when he comes back to Gloucester, as you said, during holidays or whatever, he goes to a high school hockey game, and that just says everything about the sport, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a giant community.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter what level it is, it's a big community.
Tim?
Do you think that your dad might be able to pull a couple of strings when it's time for an internship?
I believe so.
I hope so.
My dad and I basically have a thing. He's kind of going to show me where to go, basically walk me to the door, but it's up to me to knock on it and, allow me to know people for who I am. Meet people to know me for who I am, and not, oh, that's, you know, Barry Hanrahan's son. You know what I mean?
I've always told people that I've helped out with job recommendations. Is that I can get the door open. You've got to walk through and convince them that you're the person that they want to hire.
Absolutely. So it's definitely an advantage having him in the front office role right now, because it's kind of like what he sees as the future. Like, I think when he graduated, there were a lot of people with law degrees and sport management majors working. And now it's more like the analytics and the business.
Interesting.
You're
right. I remember when he emailed me that he was getting that law degree, to work contracts and so on. And that was quite a few years ago now. But I got to tell you, Ty, the name Hanrahan, I appreciate what you say. You've got to stand on your own. You want to be your own man. You're not going to change your name. But what happens as we go older, we go through cycles of generations. There are certain attributes that certain families have. And when you see that, it rings some bell with that's Tim's dog. It rings some bells with employers and so on. And people who know your dad and your mom, in the hockey world or otherwise, they know that you guys have been brought up right. So, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us tonight. And, what's next now? So this is your senior year, right?
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me, for sure. And, this is my senior year. It's crazy that it's here already.
Yeah.
This past summer I interned with Catapult Sports in Boston. And that kind of gave me a different view of the sports industry. And they're the number one sports technology company right now. So they monitor everything for athletes to unleash their potential. And might show you something that you might not see on a day-to-day basis, heart monitors and stuff like that.
Did you make some connections there too?
Absolutely. They had a conference, so they have a video software, ThunderCloud, where hockey coaches, like video coaches for hockey teams, will come and learn about the new software that's coming out that year. And they knew I had an interest in hockey, and they let me work it. They've been awesome there. I had such an amazing time working with Catapult.
That's incredible. Hey, Tim, do you think Tyler will be able to get us an internship when he gets up there?
I just want the free tickets. That's all I want.
Okay.
We're both retired. We don't do internships.
Well, okay. All right. Tyler, this has been fantastic. I want to check in with you probably during the Endicott hockey season, if I could.
I would love that. Yeah.
I want to know more about that and what you do and so on. And, God, it's great to meet you once again.
We have a really good team.
Yeah. Here. And the thing is it's so funny. You're at the Bork Arena. So, Flyers and Bruins. It's just, it's quite a connection.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I love it.
Oh, absolutely.
Tyler, thank you so much, man. I will check in with you in a couple months.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Be well, and thank you. All right. Take care.
Thank you. Sorry.
All right, that is Tyler Hanrahan, who is he's a student hockey coach at Endicott College for the men's hockey team, and I can't wait for hockey season to roll around to get more into it. Typical Hanrahan, don't you think, Tim?
He's well spoken, he has a focus, I did want to ask a couple more questions about the the application of analytics, but the numbers thing is just taking over sports in so many different ways now that 10, 15 years ago we never thought of analytics.
We're going to set aside more time for him next time, Tim. We'll set aside 20 minutes or so, and we'll so remember that. I want to pick up on that. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to just go to the next thing if I can, and God knows. I need the help with this. Here we go. All right. That takes care of that. Let me dial this number. And this one. And we should have Gary Larrabee coming up, and then hopefully I'll be able to bring Tim back in. So let's find out.
Hello.
Hey, Gary, we're on the air. I'm trying to get these buttons working correctly here, so I'm bringing back Tim. Sorry I'm late, Gary. How you doing?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Mr. Kearns is still recuperating.
Hello, Gary.
Hi, Timmy. What are you recuperating from?
COVID.
Really? I didn't know that. Well, we'll move right along.
I got diagnosed on September 10th.
All right. I didn't realize Gary did.
Right, let's talk some golf.
There you go. Let's get into it.
I hope the Ryder Cup made you feel better, Tim, yesterday, huh?
Wow. I was paying attention early in the afternoon, but they were still so early on to the end of the round. I was like, I'll go back and forth. And then once they got up around the 13th, 14th hole, I said, I got to stay with this. Because the numbers were just, so lopsided. Then you just kept waiting for them the guys to finish up and start clicking, 12, 13, 14, and then who was going to put them over the top. It was delightful. I listened to sports out of London quite a bit now, and one of the things that they talked about, Gary, was the youth of the United States and the enthusiasm of the American team and the age of the European team. And they thought that was one factor that led to the rout.
Well, most importantly, the American team gained a lot of self-respect, I think, from how they played these 3 days to win this match. 18-9 was extraordinary from our perspective, having seen how poorly they have played, losing 7 of the last 9 matches. But now everyone's talking about the pendulum swinging back in the Americans' favor, and who can question that, as you say, with so many young players on this team, and with Dustin Johnson at 37, the old man on the team. They were calling him Grandpa, I guess, at the closing ceremonies yesterday. It does bode well for the Americans going forward, and we had probably 3 or 4 other rock-solid players who could have contributed, but the fact remains the Americans regained some of that lost respect around the world, really, and I think we're already looking forward to next year when they'll be back in action. It'll be 2 years, Tim. I guess it'll be 2 years, right?
Yeah, well, no, it wouldn't be next year because this was, everything was 2020 on the logo. So this was the makeup year for last year. So they should be
playing again
in 22.
That's right. They will be playing next year back over on the continent. I believe they're playing in, I'm not sure where they're playing next year, but we're looking forward to it after the way this thing ended up over the weekend. I do have some late-breaking local golf news, if I can share that with you guys. You probably are aware they're playing the USGA National Mid-Amateur Championship on Nantucket Island, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
And they have just completed 2 rounds of stroke play qualifying, like 200 players in the field, narrowed it down to 64 players for match play, which will be picked up tomorrow morning because they've lost a lot of time the first few days with rain and fog in Nantucket. They're playing both at Sankaty Head and Mayakomet. But good news is that former St. John's Prep standout Nick Macario survived a 13-for-7 playoff this morning and gained one of those final 7 spots to make it to the 64-player match play field. He'll be playing his first match tomorrow morning. He'll be in the number 59 spot out of the 64 players who made it. He'll be playing number 6 Daniel Campbell from Bellingham, Washington. They tee off at 8:20. If any of you guys want to hustle down there and watch that match tomorrow morning, the other local player in the mix, Kyle Vincey from Turner Hill, played pretty well, shot 147, missed the cut by 5 shots because that playoff was at 142. Macario shot 71, both at Sankaty Head and the easier Mayakomet course in Nantucket. And we'll have to see how Nick, the former, Dick Haskell, Massachusetts Amateur of the Year 2 years ago, see if he can keep it going in match play tomorrow.
What time is the early ferry?
Yeah. I'd much rather set you up with a with one of my private jet connections over here at Beverly Airport. It might be easier for you.
Ah, there you go.
Maybe. One of my favorite things to do is to go out and sit out in the airport and watch the planes come in and out. I was over there yesterday morning, in fact.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah, so the images are doing that. And the, of course, looking at the Ryder Cup, it was great to watch if you were an American rooter. And, of course, Dustin Johnson has been playing pretty quietly in recent months. He came fourth and stepped forward and won all five of his points. And very impressive weekend for Dustin Johnson. And I'm sure Wayne Gretzky was pretty happy about it, too.
They say that was one of the toughest tap-side courses to play that he's ever designed. I mean, there were some hellacious holes out there.
Right on Lake Michigan, you're right, and a great challenge for all those fine players. And needless to say, the Americans handled the terrain as well as the winds a lot better than the Europeans. But my goodness. It was Dustin Johnson's weekend more than anyone else's, and of course Steve Stricker was the captain. He had 17 assistant captains, or so it seemed, including Phil Mickelson, who was a very popular face over there in Wisconsin for the week. But we have to be happy that the Americans are back, I think, where they should be, the team to beat, and of course next year, will be, as you say, another Ryder Cup year. Then we'll have the President's Cup the year after that. But right now we have a brilliant-looking, talented team of youth and experienced veterans. I don't see how the Americans can lose for the next 5-10 years.
You have column. Go ahead, Tim.
I had said the last couple of weeks, the one thing that I wanted to see in the U.S. team was some of the younger players who have played well, but they get bumped out for all these guys who've got names who really aren't, you know, at the top of their game. And that was one of the comments from the from across the pond, is that a lot of the guys that got picked for the Ryder Cup team really weren't at the top of their game, and a lot of the guys that got picked for the U.S. team, the younger guys especially, you know, were guys that have won tournaments this year, that they were playing at a high level, and they came in, they were unfazed by the tournament.
Exactly, and the rookies, the six rookies played as well as the six veterans, which is another reason why I think it bodes well for the American team moving forward. A couple other things to make note of, guys, that locally, Salem Country Club is beginning a major renovation, spending over $3 million to do all their 57 bunkers over, to do some significant tee work, expanding several of their tees. And of course this kind of a restoration project typically means we're going to be seeing another USGA championship come to Salem within the next 5 or 10 years. But what I've been told, guys, is nothing really available for Salem in the US Senior Open or US Women's Open category till about 2030.
Yikes.
I think that'll be another U.S. Senior Open, but we'll wait and see once you get this renovation project done. We'll expect to hear some kind of an announcement, I would think, within the next 12 months between the USGA and Salem Country Club.
All right, I know you're going to keep...
The time frame for, or the timetable for all this renovation, what will that take, Gary? Upwards of 2+ years?
I would think so.
Okay.
But, you know, anyways, it's still a great golf season out there. The golf course is still in fantastic shape. We've got some great high school action going on this week, guys. We have a match I haven't found the result of from today. Beverly and Marblehead, a couple of Northeastern Conference unbeatens. And I believe later in the week, the other Northeastern Conference unbeaten, Gloucester, takes on Beverly, I believe, on Thursday. So it's a pretty exciting week in the high school golf scene as well.
Great stuff. Great stuff from the pros to the high. I love it. Gary, tease the column coming up in the Salem News this weekend.
You have just, I believe, seen my last column that appeared today.
Mm-hmm.
talking about Paul Barkhouse's fabulous win at the Mass Open 45 years ago.
Ooh.
So I think we're going to be in hibernation for a while, but I'll let you know, Rick, as soon as we get ready for our first column in 2022, probably the first weekend in May, in April.
Okay.
Which will be Masters weekend, I believe, and between now and then, we'll certainly talk more golf as it's appropriate.
Yeah, do you need?
That was a great article on Paul Baca. Now, was he ever the pro at Happy Valley?
He was a long time assistant pro at Happy Valley for the legendary Larry Gannon before Larry passed on, and they renamed the course from Happy Valley to Larry Gannon Municipal Golf Course. Yep, that's the same Paul Barkhouse is now 81 years old and struggling health wise, but he gave us a lot of great memories from his finest years as a golf competitor.
Oh yeah, you know I remember growing up in Lennon, of course. That was the name in Red Hoffman's sports pages. Whenever there was golf to be reported, it was always Paul Barkhouse. He was legendary. He was legendary.
He's another legend in his own time, and great that we could revisit that spectacular Massachusetts Open at Worcester Country Club. He beat a fantastic field of players, arguably the strongest field we've seen in the last 50 years, and glad that we could look back on. I'd love to look back, as you know, on great golfing moments and affecting North Shore golf. And glad I could do it for today.
Gary, if you want to keep doing this, we will. If you need to take a break, we got that also. But it's always fun talking golf and everything else with you.
Next week will be great.
I love it. All right, we'll do it same time, same channel. Thank you, Gary.
Stay well, man. Get better. Stay better, Tim.
Take care, Gary.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye. That is Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer, and we have one more interview to go. I'm going to put our spots on, and we should be able to connect with Mike Grenier if I'm able to get it right this time, if the technology gods are with me.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right. Say a prayer to the goddess of technology, and she comes through for you. Mike Grenier, sports writer, is here with us. Mike, how are you?
We're doing fine, yes.
Good, good. I know that you went to the game last night, yesterday afternoon. I'm going to let you and Tim mull that over, but I'm going to start by saying $180 million spent in free agency.
Yes.
For what?
My goodness. I'm glad you said it the way you did, because watching Jonnu Smith yesterday was a complete nightmare. They paid a lot of money for him, a tight end. I love Hunter Henry, the other tight end. I think as the season unfolds, he's going to be a huge weapon, okay, as long as Mac Jones can get him the ball. However, Jonnu Smith looks like obviously only three games into it, but a complete bust. He had four drops yesterday, actually maybe five. The other one was kind of like up in the air, but one led directly to that pick six early in the third quarter. He cannot hold on to the ball. And I know he's not blocking well either. It was very obvious to me yesterday. He's struggling in every aspect of the game. So I don't know. I mean, Belichick is a great talent evaluator, and he has a good staff. At this point, though, as someone who's been in sports for a long time as a sports writer, I don't see what the Patriots saw in him that they would sign him to such a big contract. I mean, he's got 10 catches for like 74 yards so far in three games, but he's had almost as many drops as catches. So And the Patriots did not make him available to the media yesterday. That's how embarrassing he was.
Now, they should have put him out there, made him face the
face the music.
If you're going to get paid that much, suck it up and answer the question.
I agree.
There was one play where the running back got drilled, and he just totally whiffed on the block on either the defensive end or the linebacker. I mean, it was like open the door and let the guy run by it. And I watched the replay. Because that's what I thought I saw in real time. I watched the replay, and I was even more pissed after that.
Right.
I'm thinking, you can't be serious. You're 6'5", 240, 245. Stand in the guy's way. He didn't even attempt to make a chip.
Yep.
He just let the guy get by him, and that's awful.
It's awful. You're right. Of course, you can get guys injured on that play as well, as we all know. But, I mean, his lack of pass-catching ability so far is mind-boggling. We see better tight ends at Alabama. You know what I mean? At the University of Alabama.
I would slide Bourne into an H-back position.
Yeah.
You throw it near him, he gets his hands on him, and he brings it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had nearly 100 yards receiving yesterday.
Right, exactly. And they're just struggling in so many aspects of the game right now. And Tim and Rick, how do you feel about this? My take on the Patriots' lack of offense, they rank 22nd in team offense, all right? Now, in team defense right now, they're actually ranked 5th. That's not bad. That's pretty good. In other words, they're only giving up 17 points a game. The yardage figures have been reasonable for opposing teams. So they're playing fine on defense. At the offensive end of the ball, however, they're just unimaginative and so predictable. I mean, now, Sunday night, when they play the Bucs, Tim, what do you think the first play of the game will be on offense? How about this? You think Damian Harris will carry on the very first play of the game and get about 2.5-3 yards, and that'll be it?
and of course, what we love to see, send Bourne or send a receiver. Just go, Pat. Just go.
Yes.
And I don't care. Throw it down the field. Make Tampa Bay think, oh, maybe this is the way they're going to go after us.
Right.
Get them thinking because no one's thinking on the defensive side of the ball for the opposition right now because they know everything is going to be in front of them. So they're all playing up. There's no fear of a long ball.
That's right. I agree with you, Tim. Even if it's a 45-yard incompletion, you're stretching the defense on the first play of the game, and you're making him think that Josh McDaniels at least is changing things up. And obviously, I think Josh McDaniels has been a great offensive coordinator in the past, but with a rookie quarterback, he's going to be conservative, and I'm wondering how much of that is Josh McDaniels and how much of that is Bill Belichick. I think it's a combination of the two. They don't want to put the kid in a bad position, but you can't be utterly predictable on every play. I could tell you from being at the game yesterday, and I had a great seat, close to the action. The fans were really stir crazy, and they were very restless about the way the Patriots. I mean, they were ready to boo them at various occasions, especially when Jake Bailey had to punt the ball. They weren't taking any chances. They were settling for field goals. All those bad things that bad teams do, like the Jets and the Giants, for example. The crowd yesterday at Gillette Stadium, that was their mindset. They were very restless, and I've seen that in other stadiums, but not so much at Gillette over the last 20 years. And it just speaks to where they are right now on offense. And they're just, they're 1-2, and obviously we're not counting on Sunday night as a win, I don't think.
They're not playing with a passion either. It looked very similar to the team that they put out there last year from my point of view, and I think I'm not that crazy about the defense. I'm surprised they're ranked so highly because I think the defense is pretty unimaginative too. But what really concerns me, you pointed out the major things, but also that offensive line, I mean, it was supposed to be gangbusters. It ain't.
No, you're right. And of course they do miss Trent Brown, the big guy. I mean, I think Tom Brady would have cut half of his playoff check when they won the Super Bowl over the Rams in 2019 because Trent Brown was so great the entire year. Now he's missed obviously these games, and he's a big part of what they do in the offensive line. It seems like crazy to think that one person can make that much of a difference. When you have an all-star caliber lineman like that, it solidifies the rest of the line, right, Tim and Rick? I mean, I think they miss him a lot, But obviously there are no excuses for the guys who are fanning on their blocks. So like Tim pointed out, Jonnu Smith is a tight end fanning on his blocks and to compound it, not being able to catch the ball. So you're right, Rick. I think that's another facet of the game right now where they're lacking the offensive line. So combine that with go ahead.
Well, one of the things that in the past, when they've had injuries in the offensive line, they've had guys step in.
Correct. Like Karras, Ted Karras, and guys. Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, Brian Stork stepped in and played center. Never even played center. He was the guy. They put him at center, and they never missed a beat.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
In fact, they cut the center the next year because they had Stork.
Right.
You know,
right.
And this year, and even last year, they didn't get the kind of backup play that they've had in the past. And these guys were some really good guys, supposedly, and yet they're not doing it. They're not making the block. They're not stealing the edge. It's driving it's driving me crazy. Other thing that ticked me off yesterday was, where was J.J. Taylor? Where are all the running backs that have been producing?
Yeah, really.
Right.
And Belichick's got them all standing on the sideline.
I know. I mean, Damian Harris had the first carry. I mean, would they have like 40 or 50 yards rushing at most yesterday? And actually, their leading rusher was Mac Jones, and that was because he had to scramble out of the pocket a few times, and he had like one gain that was like about 20, 22 yards, and he led the team in rushing. They really couldn't generate anything for a couple of reasons. You know, like Rick pointed out, the offensive line has not been cohesive, and they have not been a power blocking team. They can't create anything for their running backs, and the running backs are running into stone walls, figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I saw a guy last night who I think the Pats should go after.
Go ahead.
This guy, Sony Michel, he looked really good.
You know what? You know, he caught not only did he run pretty well, but he caught like three passes, which was not his strength when he was with the Patriots. I've always liked him, but obviously, you know, Belichick felt he had enough depth at running back, but so far, it's just not there, and I think it could get really ugly on Sunday night playing a good veteran team like Tampa Bay. Never mind the Brady factor itself, but just a good veteran team with so many good running backs and receivers. They have a powerhouse team. So,
you know,
and you've got a team that's pissed off because they lost last night.
Right, exactly. That's what my wife said to me today. Brady's not going to, like, he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder because they did lose. So,
yeah. And it has nothing to do with being back in Foxborough. It's all about I lost, I don't like it, and the next team pays.
That's right. And unfortunately, the next team is the Patriots right now.
You know, one article I read today, guys, and we got to bring this to a close here in a little while, but
right.
I read something in the Globe, and the phrase, the wording, was kind of exhilarating and scary at the same time, and it was something to the effect that Mac Jones is fearless. Well, that's great, but it scares the bejeebers out of me, too.
It's a two-way street, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, yeah, of course, they had been taking care of the ball very well. And to be fair to the kid, because of the breakdown on the offensive line, there are people in his face on it. Certainly with Sean Payton is a tremendous coach, I think, with the New Orleans Saints. And he put enormous pressure on the kid. They were right in his face all day yesterday. And, of course, Jonnu Smith was really responsible for one of those interceptions. So I'd say the kid is going to be fine overall, but he has to get some help. There's no doubt about it. And, by the way, I don't know if you guys heard, but the Celtics' new head coach has been diagnosed with COVID.
Oh, no, no.
And it's a breakthrough case. He's been vaccinated, and he was supposed to hold, I believe, a media day. I think tomorrow, too, he has to do it via Zoom because he has been tested positive for COVID, and it's one of those breakthrough cases. He has been vaccinated, but he still contracted it somehow. And
no, he can join my club.
I know, and I'm sorry to hear about that, Tim, and I hope that you're going to recover quickly.
I'm getting better. Most of the symptoms have dissipated. It's just the lack of energy that's
right.
Hanging around.
Well, I hope that also gets better quickly.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? You got. Come on. It's just an excuse, Gary, Mike, because, you know, all these mistakes I'm making, I wouldn't be making them if he was here.
Well, not only that, he's afraid that Belichick will draft him as offensive line. You know?
There you go.
That's the case. If that's the case, I would pay the $300 or $400 to see him play against the Tampa Bay Bucks Sunday night.
Oh, man. Hey, Mike, it's been good. I'm sorry I got to you so late. We'll
no
do
problem.
It. We'll do it again next week, and we'll see what next Sunday brings, I guess.
I guess so, and you know, if this keeps going, we'll be looking forward to the Celtics season a lot earlier than we anticipated.
Yeah, you got that right. Celtics and the Bruins. Oh, man. All right, Mike, thank you so much. It's great talking with you. Be well.
Tim, you
thanks,
be
Michael.
Well. Tim, you be
thank
well.
You.
Rick, you too. Thanks.
Thanks.
Very
all
much.
Right, Mike. Thank you so much. Bye. Okay, that's sports writer Mike Grenier, who has covered everything, just as like Gary Larrabee has just covered everything in the world of sports. And great to get his observations. I don't know, Tim. What do you think, man? It's looking pretty bleak, isn't it?
No. It's not bleak. You know, everything is correctable. You know, Belichick's got to go with the youth movement. He's got younger guys. He's got some young guys, some really good young players. Play them.
Mm-hmm.
So Jonas Smith, you can't catch it born. You're in. Okay? And until you prove you can't do the job, you're it. You know, and put Jonu Smith down and say, watch this kid. He catches the ball. He blocks. You know?
I'm wondering.
Guys that are making plays and leave him out there.
I wonder why Olszewski hasn't been used at all on offense, because I remember last year there was some speculation that he could be the new slot receiver because he got open on third down fairly significantly. And you haven't seen him at all on offense.
Well, here's the other thing. How much have we even seen of a slot receiver?
Nothing. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. There isn't any. And I don't know. Well, you made me feel better. It is early, and you know they'll get it together. And I think certainly the Mac Jones play is there's reason for optimism watching him.
Yeah, I just fear for his knees.
Well, that's what I said when he's fearless. It's like, man. You got to be afraid. Be afraid. Get rid of that ball once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, don't take that pounding that he's been taking. My goodness gracious. All right, Coach, any other thing you want to mention?
Well, congratulations to the U.S. Ryder Cup team. It was dominant. It was, as an American, it was fun to watch. I'm not thrilled with the behavior of the U.S. fans. You know, it was bordering on Bush League. Now, throughout the entire weekend of golf, it's this new group of followers of the PGA and these things, you know, have no idea of the decorum that golf has built up over the last 100 plus years that the game has been played, you know, and they're yelling and screaming. And Morikawa turned around on the 18th green, when his opponent was looking to putt out to have the hole, and he whipped around and he put the finger to the lips and gave the crowd the shush.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. It's like they turned off the switch. There was no noise
mm-hmm.
until that guy from Europe putted the ball.
Well, as I've been saying,
exactly what he told them to do. But, I mean, there's no need. There's a recognition of the situation, you know?
We need civics in high school again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because these people are not civil.
No, I know. All right, Coach, it's been fun. I will talk to you later, and get your strength back, brother.
Yeah, I'm trying.
All right, Tim. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Rick.
Okay. That is Tim Kearns, our MSO analyst, our producer and engineer from afar right now, Bill Proposky, remotely. And, Tim was remote as well. And, of course, Bill Newell, don't forget, man, Bill Newell hosting the Salem News Sports Writers. That will be up tomorrow morning on our website, as every week Bill hosts a Zoom meeting of the Salem Sports Writers, the Salem News Sports Writers, and, additionally, Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times. And they're going to be talking about several 3-0 teams in high school football. Talk some highlights from last weekend and take a look at what's coming up this weekend in high school action. And that's all with Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, Nick Kukru. And I'm not sure if Nick Giannino is on in this one, but Bill Newell is hosting. Check it out tomorrow morning on our website. That's the Salem News Sports Writers Podcast. And thanks to all those guys who do that. It's amazing all the kids' names that these guys know, and they get in there and can tell you all about the kids. That'll do it for tonight. So for Bill, for Tim, and the other Bill, I'm Rick Moore. Thank you very much for being with us. This is MSONewsSports.com, and you can email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com. Bye-bye.